The obedience of a true disciple. Get your Bibles out and turn to Luke chapter 6. Got it? Luke chapter 6, and beginning to the end of that one. Come at 46. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my works and acts upon me, I will show you who he is. Who he is like. He is in that of a man of a building of a house. Remember this story? What's he going to do? He's being deep, and he lays a good foundation upon the rocks, and my eyes have gone completely. Let me try. This is terrible, but let me get this to you in the word. It's two stories. There's one of them is going to be good, and one of them's going to be what? Bad. That's the way it is. The one, he got the right material. He got it. He got it in the mail. He got it in the books of putting it all together, and he comes to all of it. Everything is good. Nobody is bad around him. The other guy, not so. And that's the thought of our tonight's lesson study. It's the obedience of a true disciple. And this true disciple was what he was doing, is to get people to obey the gospel. One of the warning signs of our eroding society here in America is the rebellion against authority. Do you like authority? Do you like to people come up to you and they know it all, and they just go, 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 go? Were they really Christians? Were they really desirous of talking to these people or not? But look at this. Four things. I want you to get this. Four things. Many children are rebelling against the authority of their parents. Yes or no? You've got to decide that. Number two, many students are rebelling against the authority of their teachers. Up or down? Number three, many citizens are rebelling against the authority of law enforcement, officers whose job it is to uphold the law. All right, that's the third one. And many politicians are rebelling against the authority of the United States Constitution. Do you believe that that's the way that the life is going in this world? Do you think that this is probably like it's going to be near the end of your lives to see what we could not do? Who is the authority in your life? You think about that? Who is the authority in your life? Nice, bad. Working on it? I'm not interested in it. If I were to ask you this morning, Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Probably most of everyone here would answer what? Yes. That's the way it would go, wouldn't it? I bet most people for you. You might be a few hard heads that say, nah, I'm not interested in it. But is Jesus Christ Savior? Probably most everyone here would answer yes. But if I were to ask you, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Chances are many of you might be very hesitant to answer the question. There is this thing, a false doctrine that is being preached in many of our churches today. The one that can be saved, they say, by Jesus without surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus. All right. Get rolling here and see what we can find out. It's a false doctrine that has tickled the ears. Our literary millions of people who are looking for something out, an easy road to live. These pews of our American churches are filled with churches goers who profess to be Christians, and yet the morals of lifestyle life is not that it. Sinners who are outside in Jesus. Think of these things, these three things. If an employee refuses to submit to you the authority of his boss. Now just get that on your mind. If an employee refuses to submit to authority of his boss, what happens to him? He's a boss. He's going to take you out of the way right now. If you are doing what you're wanting or doing, he says, no, I don't want you in the company. Two, if a soldier refuses to submit to the authority of his captain, what happens? Get on, behave yourself. No. He is going to dishonorably discharge. And that'll be it. If a ball player refused to submit to the authority of his coach, what happens? Probably kicked off the teams. You see, if this principle applies in the secular world, how much more does it apply to being a true discipline of Jesus Christ? In New Testament writers, Jesus as Lord over 600 times, and yet he is the only referring to the Savior about 17 times, depending on the translation you use. Now, what does that all tell us about the importance of the Lordship of Jesus? It tells us that Jesus is our Savior, that he must also be the Lord of our lives, and he cannot be without being anything else. Let's go back now and see what we can pick up in our line. So get steady for rolling. First of all, listen carefully. Obedience is not optional because it is the true test of lordship. Let me explain to you the context of the whole chapter. Get your minds going. This sixth chapter of Luke contains what is a commonly called the Sermon on the Plain. The Sermon on the Plain, I'm sorry. Next, we're all familiar with Jesus, whose sermons on the Mount. And in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon of the Plan, it is actually Luke's condensed version of what he's telling them. Sermon on the Mount is Jesus, or is just 29 verses long. It begins in verse 20 and it expands and ends in verse 49. A great multitude of people have geared around to hear Jesus preach the great sermon. If we had been there that day, we would have said, "Wow, look at all these people." But Jesus couldn't see inside the hearts. I saw something who genuinely waited to follow him, but Jesus could also see the time or the many of the were nothing for these casualties. And so it is, we've got to learn something here for good. And three, it's knowing that he was in the hearts of others. And six, now listen, get this with me. It is good to call Jesus Lord because he truly is Lord. We've got that, haven't we? The New Testament teaches us Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth and everything under the earth. He is the Lord of the living and the dead. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he is the Lord over all creation. He is Lord over all sickness, disease, and other things of death. He is the Lord over the winds and the waves. He is the Lord over the denominations. But listen carefully. If Jesus is not the Lord over my life, you got it? It's on your life. If Jesus is not in the Lord of my life, in other words, if I am not willing to submit to the authority over me and over and obey his commands, then call Jesus Lord, Lord. He is empty and meaningless. Calling Jesus Lord knows that he is the Lord. You see all these that are working to get out and do what is right? Obedience is not optional because it is the foundation that will stand the test of time and eternity. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show theirs. I will show you whom he is like. I am sure that you notice that this is a Luke's version of Jesus' parable of the wise and foolish builders. That is read about in Matthew 7:42-49. The first home builder represents that wise man who not only hears the words of Jesus, but they are obedience. Notice that the men gather together and dig in deep, deep things in soil and hear until we do other things. Brethren, the flood waters had a purpose there. You know, sometimes we're looking at somewhere else when we should be with Jesus. Jesus looked at the flood waters for this man, but that's all right. I was reading the other day. I like to get back in my reading. I had been so wrapped up in lessons and this and that and work. I never had time to just get down and light various things. But on September the 7th, you know what it's going to be? In September the 1st, 1939, I was just a little, 2, 3 years old. I was very, very small. I was the last one in the family. But on September the 1st, 1939, Germany made or involved Poland igniting the second global conflict of the 20th century. It was 6 years and one day later, on September the 2nd, in 1945. What the Japanese delegation formally signaled the instruments of surrender on board of the USS Missouri, making the official end of World War II. It is estimated that World War II claimed to be lives of 60 to 80 million people who died of what they were in. Certainly something's better. In 1945, there was one hymn that is written as it's saying, "Heaven will surely be worth it all." What do you think? That sure that it is going all the way? Jesus is saying we need what would help us to grow and to divide more and more. And number 3, obedience is not optional, because those who did not know obey Christ face certain Deuteronomic thoughts. But he who heard and did nothing, like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream burst vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. When you look at this guy who built his house without a foundation, don't you wonder, why would he do something so stupid that he does? There may have been several reasons. For one, is involved a lot of time and hard work to dig by hand all the way down to the bedrock, and the foolish man was evidently lazy. Spiritually speaking, disobedience is much easier than disobedience of what's coming on. Brethren, what do you think? What do you think we can do to help the Lord get back to the people who have just sort of turned away from it, who doesn't have the faithfulness, and who's not putting these together in this here to get people one with another? I don't know what's going to happen in this world today. But brothers and sisters, listen. the chances of a flood is not only 50 to 50, it is 150. There is a 100 chance you are going to get hit by the flood trials, and there is 100% chance you are going to stand before Christ in judgment. And if Christ, if you are to die living it willfully, disobediently to Christ, obedience to Jesus is not optional. What is it, brothers, sisters? What is it that we argue about and go about and talk about and don't do the things we should? I don't know. But brethren, I don't know how I can help you anymore. My times are passing away. And I know between the two of us, me and Joyce, it's going to be one or the other pretty soon. And we're looking forward to see what can be done. I often think I'd like Joyce to go first because I want to watch it. And then I can go second, and that's it. Brethren, you've got a good group here. You've got workers. You've got people out here. I don't have that things that I want to do that I can't always get to. Now, some of you are older and you're doing well, and I'm proud of you. But I've been going slowly, slowly, slowly into the things that one day I'm going to say, I don't know who I am, and I don't know who you are because of what's happening. Brethren, take God's word, listen to it, read it over and over and over and over until you get this book firm in our minds. You got it? Maybe there's somebody here this afternoon that does not have a child of God in their lives. Maybe there are people here that have never obeyed the gospel. I'm not trying to beat something in your head. I'm not trying to make it, you believe this or I won't let you out of here. And people do that. I'm not asking that. I'm asking for you to teach the truth to the best of your ability, and then help them. We had one this morning who's trying to build his house up again and be right. And I appreciate that. Be with him, Father. Be with all of us. We're going to sing the last song here. And if you're ready, brother, let's go.